Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is actually from the third chapter of the book of Exodus. The first eight verses, it reads like this. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said to him, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. This is the text. What's your history? You know, when we admit people to the hospital, we're concerned about their history, specifically, of course, their medical history. Do you smoke? Do you drink alcohol? When did you last eat? Have you had cancer or heart disease? Are you on any medications? Have you ever used illegal drugs? Have you been hospitalized for anything at all in the past? If you've been admitted to the hospital, or if you've had to change doctors, you know that you've got to fill out a questionnaire that has a ton of questions on it, and it all has to do with your health information, your health history, because the doctor needs to know where you've been, health-wise, where you are right now, so that the doctor can know how best to deal with your health in the future. Well, when I encounter people in the hospital, particularly if they've been given bad news or they come to feel or believe that they're not going to live long, they want to tell me their history, their story, at least parts of it. Patients want to get their story out there when it comes to their lives, particularly if they think they're not going to survive. They want to tell their story and they want someone to listen to it. They want someone to care about the life that they have lived. They want to feel like that they've mattered. When God met Moses in our text, he gives an identification of himself that indicated a significant history, a history of caring and love and concern for his people. That's all was wrapped up in that very simple introduction. I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now, this revealed a significant history. Because all the way back in Genesis chapter 12, God had revealed to the first of these men that were named here, Abraham, that he was going to bring all kinds of blessings to Abraham, but not just any blessings. God promised Abraham that he was going to make him into a great nation, a special nation, unlike all of the other nations of the earth. Now, in order to be made into a nation, there are a couple of things that are necessary. People and land. God promised to give Abraham land for this great nation to live on, and that the people that would occupy that land, or that would be that nation, would be his own descendants. But Abraham had a bit of a reason to question God, at least a little bit in his mind, because he was already well into his 70s, and he had neither of those two things. He hadn't yet had a single child, and he was a nomad. He lived in tents, wandering from one place to another around his homeland. The land that God promised, of course, was nothing less than the land of Israel, that piece of real estate that is contested right to this day by Jews and Palestinians. And not only was God going to give Abraham land, but he was going to make him into a great and a powerful nation. But when God promised Abraham these people to live on this land, he even goes further than that to say that there's going to be a real blessing that's going to come out of all this for every person on this earth. that there was going to be one man that was going to be born of that nation living on that land who was going to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Messiah would come from God and he would pay for the sins of all people. By the time of Moses, the Israelite nation had indeed grown into a great nation, but they weren't living on their land. They were living as hostages to an enemy nation called Egypt. So by announcing to Moses here that the one that was making the promises or that was speaking to him was the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, God was announcing a specific history to what he had already done for his people since the first promises were made to Abraham. And in this text, God is promising that the land that Abraham had been promised originally was land that was occupied already, but that God's people were going to be freed from the slavery that they were serving in Egypt and would be then cared for as they went and made their journey through the wilderness from Egypt to the land that God was giving them. It was God's way of basically saying to Moses, I'm God, and I have already done all of these things that I've promised to Abraham and to his son Isaac and to his son Jacob, or Abraham's grandson, and now there are even more promises to come, better promises to come. Just as I was faithful in the past, God said to Moses, I am going to be even faithful in the future. But you have to trust me. God was announcing his history of dealing with his people. So I want you to think for just a minute. What is God's history of his dealing with you? What story could you tell about how God has been faithful to you, how you have had God's blessings come into your life? How did you become a Christian? You know, there are denominations of Christianity that really put a lot of emphasis on that, about the exact time that a person has become a Christian, some kind of way of thinking of the ignition point of their faith of one kind or another. Now, we Lutherans have a little bit of a different view of that. A number of you probably have the same faith history that I do in that regard, and that is you were brought to a baptismal font as an infant, as I was, and that you've been a Christian, and maybe even the member of the Lutheran Church ever since. You know that I was baptized in a Lutheran church in Indianapolis. I got the chance to go there, actually, for the very first time back in the fall of this year, of this last year. On November the 20th, 1960, I was baptized in that church. I've been a Lutheran ever since. Now, this is not something that I did. It is something that God has reached out through the water of holy baptism and brought God's blessing of forgiveness and the gift of the Holy Spirit and faith into my life. And for my family, if we want to look at history just a little bit more, it goes back to my mother, who was actually the first of the family as she went to attend a Lutheran Sunday school that was just down the block in Bedford, Indiana, when she was 12 years old. The result of that was all of the rest of her family joined the Lutheran Church. So either way, you probably have a story too. And many of you, I'm sure, probably have a story in Lutheranism that goes far beyond just one generation back like mine does. But not only do you have a story about how you have been a Lutheran or how you've been a Christian, but even more, you can look at your life and in your family history, you can see how God has guided this and that and so forth to bring you to where you're at today. That's your history. Just as God commanded and announced to Moses in the burning bush in our text, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, as a way of announcing to Moses that he was the one who had already been in charge of and taken care of his people through their history up to that point. I'm sure you have your own unique story about how God has blessed you, about how God has helped you through great times in life, and not so great times. As a part of your meditation in this Lenten season, because Lent is a season where we think, and we are encouraged to look back, and we're encouraged to think about where we're at today, and encouraged to think about our role as being Christians, as well as the passion of Christ, I would challenge you to reflect on your history, and how God has been involved in your life, and how God might be involved in your life going forward. What's your history? So far, the focus has been upon basically God and what he has done for us in his dealings with his people. And that's a wonderful history because God is a God of mercy and love, that God came and saw his people and save them. But that's not only true of the Old Testament Israelites, it's also true of us. Thing is, we know that we don't deserve God's goodness and God's mercy. In fact, there's another aspect of our history that we really ought to look at and really ought to be honest about, and that is that we don't deserve anything from God that is good at all. If we're honest, all we see is sin and rebellion. We know the right things we're supposed to do. We don't do them. Instead, we know that we're supposed to be kind to people, but it kind of depends on whether they're kind to us first. We know that those who we are unkind to other people in need, even if they're people right in our own neighborhood, we will go out of our way to do something great for somebody that we care about. But at the same time, if someone is in need and we're not really all that interested in them, or for whatever reason, or they seem disagreeable for us, well, too bad for them. That's our history. That part of our history is a sad, sordid, embarrassing history. It is a history for which we deserve nothing good from God at all. But that's when we can be pleased that the history of God dealing with us is a history of mercy and his great forgiveness showering into our lives each and every day. And that's why we journey through the season of Lent, to remember that gift of his Son that came down to us, that despite of our sins, despite our history of being sinners, that he came to be with us, to live among us, to die for us, to save us. That is the history that matters. The story of God's people being delivered from slavery in Egypt is one that is talked about during the Lenten season in quite a number of ways, because the redemption of the people from their slavery in Egypt is kind of compared to a certain extent with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and his bringing us redemption. Passover, actually, too, is the closest celebration that the people of Israel had. And it's a celebration that the people of Israel had being freed from slavery. And it is the closest one to the festival that parallels Easter. The Jews were hopelessly trapped in their slavery to the Egyptians, who were the enemies of God in that day. The whole world was hopelessly trapped in slavery to the enemy of God, the devil. The only way the Jews could be freed from their slavery in Egypt was to have God intervene through Moses. The only way that we could be freed from our slavery to the devil is that God had to intervene by sending his Son, Jesus, to come and do battle with God's enemy, Satan, to free us from our slavery to sin. What's your history? Your history, just like mine and all people, is filled with stories of slavery and freedom. We fall into sin, we live as slaves of sin, we come to the forgiveness that Jesus has won for us that frees us from our slavery to sin. We find that our history is ongoing from this point forward, and we can depend upon our God to help us, to be with us, and to carry us through no matter what. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.